This is ZBTR, 6:06 a.m. out of the Bermuda Triangle Research Repository. Please stand by for transmission.
Campground. Congratulations on escaping the midnight cultists and cannibals that lurk in the woods. We thought they had gone on vacation, but apparently not. You're listening to ZBTR 6:06 a.m. My name is Ammonia Rivers, and I'm a junior researcher here at the Bermuda Research Repository, home of Academics Anonymous, or AAS for short. I'm completing my thesis on cryptids and their impact on world cultures, using the network to inform our academics. The station is located in the Bermuda Triangle, where, of course, nothing can be found and existence is pain. And Lenore, who is now our official mascot, as I am tired of replacing machines because of her tantrums and not getting her way. Yes, you do, you big baby. Yes, you have your picture on the website. For those that don't know, we regularly update not only the staff pictures, but also our blog and frequencies at academics-anonymous.com. You promised to behave, you better not throw that out of the window again. If you are a new guest to the Academics Anonymous broadcast, welcome. Lenore and I are happy to have you. Today we have correspondence with one of our agents in the field. Indigo Davis has a particular love and interest with Bigfoot, or Sasquatch as some know the creature, and has been conducting research within the Pacific Northwest. She writes, "The Pacific Northwest is one of my favorite places to search for cryptids. The area is home to many cryptid researchers, and cryptid decorations are always in sale, no matter the time." That being said, the earliest recordings of Bigfoot are from the Hoklium and other Salish traditions. They have reported that Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, was a powerful but generally benign supernatural creature in the shape of a very large, hairy, wild man. Its Hoklium name, Sasquatch, is pronounced similar to Sesquatch. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. I suggest we invite the tribes to the AAS Society if this cryptid can be verified. As much as I love the stories and research of Bigfoot, I have come into contact with one that is not so benign. I'm hoping that HQ can give me information on her self-defense protocols. My experience with the Bigfoot began when I was traveling in the early 1600s in the Pacific Northwest. I had been talking with both native peoples and colonists in an area that I had triangulated for a particular spike within the Sasquatch sightings data set. I then traveled to late in the spring of 1883, during the third peak logging area in the PNW. This time period had the most sightings, which would make sense as it is when people were encroaching in its habitat at an unprecedented rate. I did not expect to find the amount of evidence that I have gathered. Multiple trail cameras, which I brought with me, were able to take many photographs of Bigfoot. My thermal cameras have perhaps found a braided cocoon-like structure that Bigfoot may sleep in at night. Perhaps the creature could sense the need to come out of hiding and show himself a bit more. Recently, perhaps within the last month or so, I have noticed a change in the forest during my data collection, especially at night. When I first walked around Mount Rainier, I could hear birds singing despite the snow along the mountain. The air felt warming, and the sun seemed to glow along the trees. Yet within this last month, the birds have gradually stopped singing. The warm glow darkened, and within the dark silence, I felt that something was following me. At first, I had thought that this was just an eerie feeling, just something inside my mind. The occasional snapping of twigs was small animals racing through the undergrowth, perhaps in search of food. Or at least that's what I had told myself. This feeling intensified at night as I knew more of the predators came out. On a particularly loud night, the coyotes had been howling and barking along the mountain not too far from me. A loud bang and the snapping of branches shook my tent while I was inside, and I could hear my horse nickering nearby, though it didn't sound wounded, just frightened. The shadow of a tall, broad figure walked back and forth between the fire and my tent. It dragged a long stick behind it. Luckily, My tent had multiple entrances, and I quietly opened the back flap and threw one of the logs for the fire into the woods. I quickly zipped up my tent and waited. The creature turned and howled and ran in the direction of the log. I did not wait to find out if the creature was a man in a suit or truly the Bigfoot I had been researching. I jumped on my horse and hightailed it down the mountain. When I returned the next day, my tent and food supplies were completely ruined and smashed in. My camera equipment was thankfully in my backpack and right next to my coat, which I was able to grab while quickly running away. What tactics does HQ suggest to avoid potential harm while on the job, but also not hurt the creature? Sincerely shaken, Indigo Davis. Well, Indigo, we do have tranquilizer darts that have been proven to work on other hairy cryptids in the past. I will tell the administration that you'll be requiring these for your next trip. Also, salt rings and particular runes can be beneficial in warding off certain cryptids and negative experiences. I will definitely send you the professor's timeline transponder so you can get into contact with about that. And that's the end of our transmission. Some quick updates before we go. Be sure to always dust under your bed, as dust bunnies have been known to be predatory and bite through people's fingers while they sleep. Never play cards after 10 p.m. as they may invoke trickster spirits. And always look at the fine print of a contract. Thanks for tuning in. Lenore and I will catch you in our next episode, which you can find by using a skeleton key in the back of a 1920s radio.
It's the top of the hour, and you are listening to ZBTR 606 AM on the dial, home of the Bermuda Triangle Research Repository. More shows coming up next. Stay tuned.